I'll agree, and my answer will be yes. Lord,
oh, one more time with all your heart now. Sing it to him, sing it to him.
Say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit,
oh, you hear his voice tonight. Hallelujah, Father.
My whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes.
Let's give him worship. Let's give him praise tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give him praise. Give him honor. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
You can see we're moving up in the technology world. Got to have the mics now. How many's trusting the Lord tonight? My, I appreciated that song service. I don't know about you all. There ain't nothing else that matters in life but walking closer to Jesus. You know, when it's the end of the road, I just want to know, how close am I to him? All these other things that's going on, all these things that I fret about, is Jesus there?
Yeah.
Then it's all right. Yeah. Just let me know that he's in the ship with me. Yeah. So when that storm gets a rocking in my life, he'll just come out and speak it away.
Yeah, right.
Now some of you, I didn't mean he's way out there now.
No.
I mean he lives right here.
Yes.
Yes, brother.
Yes. That old devil, I'll tell you what, sometimes he speaks and it sounds just like my voice. Sometimes God speaks.
Yeah.
And it sounds just like my voice.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Don't want to prolong the time. I sure appreciate Brother Nathan coming again. How many appreciates Brother Nathan tonight?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We sang those songs about trusting in the Lord and taking a plunge in Calvary before we get here. How many's made their way through Calvary saying, Lord, wash me clean. I want to walk into that holies of holies with confidence. And I'm not trusting anything I've done. I'm trusting what he did for me at Calvary. When we walk into this place, we're not here to be in Defiance, Ohio. We came to be in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We came to hear God's voice through a man named Nathan. Because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So as we invite him up, Dad, you got another song by any chance? I know you usually ain't used to doing that. I don't know. I'm just used to pulling on him all the time, I guess.
Well, come and go with me to my Father's house.
Bless you. It's wonderful to be here again, and
Amen.
We just want to go just straight to the Word.
Yes, sir.
And I'm excited to see what the Lord has for us tonight. But
yes, sir.
I just want to say it's a pleasure to have my friend Brother Colin with me, my
Amen.
Ministering brother, and
praise God.
My hero. I kind of feel like Silas preaching to Paul tonight.
But,
we know that the Lord spoke through a donkey.
That's right.
So. We
sure.
believe he can speak through me. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. But just a little thought on my heart. Nothing great or wonderful, but just a real simple, just the simple word tonight. The Lord laid a thought on my heart of a spiritual death. And we just want to talk about we know that Brother Branham talked about the last plague that struck Egypt was spiritual,
yeah,
was a death,
right.
a physical death.
Yeah.
And he said that the last plague to strike the church would be a spiritual death.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And we know that just because we go to a message church or just because we believe the message doesn't mean that we're not under a threat of that same plague falling on us.
Brother.
Amen. And so we don't want to preach a negative message tonight, but we just want to expose the enemy. Amen.
Yes, sir.
We want to know that we really want to know where we stand with Christ.
Yes,
we do want that closer walk every day.
Amen.
Just as we're saying, that's the only way. That's the only way to find peace.
Yes,
in this life.
That's amen. Right. Yes,
amen.
Sir.
To be in my Father's house. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. So let's just go right to the reading of the Word in Mark chapter 7. And we have old notes. Actually, this is the first sermon I ever preached. But it's old notes, but it's a new day.
That's right.
We have
new
needs, so we don't want to limit the Lord tonight, but we want the Lord to be free to speak.
Yes.
Amen. For the present situation, we know He's an on-time God.
Yes.
Amen. Mark chapter 7. I went past it here. Mark chapter 7, and start at verse 5. Amen. This is the Pharisees had come to Jesus, and we'll read it here. The Pharisees and scribes asked him, "Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" He answered and said unto them, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, and the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things do you do." And he said unto him, "Full well, ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition." And then down in verse 13, "Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye." Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for another opportunity to come before your word, Lord, knowing that it's the same word, Lord, that was a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart on the shores of Galilee, Father, the same word that was a discerner, Lord, in the meetings of our prophet, Father, but we know that Jesus Christ, the word, is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Father. So we're trusting, Lord, not in a man tonight, Father. Lord, we've not come to push our agenda, to push our opinions, Father, but Lord, that you would be able to speak, Father, that you would be able to speak tonight, Father, what you would have us to hear, Father, and I pray that you would find every heart, Father, willing to receive the word that you bring tonight. Help us to search ourselves, Father. Help us to be, Lord, help us to have a healthy and righteous fear, Father, to fall to the enemy's traps, Lord. But may we, Lord, just be, know where we stand with you, Father. Lord, I pray you'd bring us up higher tonight, Father. Lord, just bring us more, Lord, make us more shut out from the things of the world tonight, Father. May we just draw close to you tonight. Father, come into your presence, Father, and have a secret, Lord, a secret fellowship with you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the many times you've met us here before, Father. And Lord, we're just trusting that you'll meet us once more, Father. We give you the dominion tonight, Father. We just want you to have your way, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. So speaking on this last plague to strike the earth, being spiritual death. And we'll just turn to Revelations chapter 6. And we know that... Amen. How many know that that God never stands still, but he's always got to work
That's
on the
right.
earth? Amen.
Amen.
But how many know that Satan also never sits still, but he's always, as God rises something up, then Satan brings something to answer it, Father. Amen.
Come
and there's a war going on today, and it's not that we don't have the kind of life today where we just kind of, where we just live a life of peace, and we come to church, you know, on Sunday and on Wednesday, and we go home and go about our business, but every day, from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to bed, we're in total war. Amen. Because we know that we know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood today.
That's right.
Amen. But against the principalities of darkness. It's a spiritual warfare tonight. Amen. And so it's so easy for us to look at life carnally. Amen. And we look at when things are going bad.
Yes.
Amen. And we think that's when we've got it. When everything's gone wrong is when carnally things look bad. And sometimes things carnally they look good and we're prospering carnally. Amen. But that has no bearing on the spiritual. Amen. And it has we can't look to that for our peace tonight. But we want to know that we are overcoming in the spiritual battle. Amen. Because that's what we were sent to do. Amen. We weren't sent to be Satan's prey. We weren't sent here. We weren't called here together. Amen. To be be somebody that Satan could knock back and forth. Amen. But we are the, amen, we are the invincible army of God. Amen. The bride of Christ who has an answer to every one of Satan's questions. Amen. Amen. And Brother Branham spoke of a bride that she would be so full of God, Satan wouldn't know what to do with her. Amen. Amen. So that's what we're looking for tonight. Amen. Is to rise above any denominationalism. Not let any of the spiritual laxness, any of the spiritual uncertainty of this age fall upon us. But we want to stay separated unto God. Amen. Amen. So we're looking at this Antichrist spirit that's come against the church today. Amen. And he hasn't... this isn't something of history, but it's for our day.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Because Satan is—he's come to a place of desperation.
Yeah.
Amen. Right. Amen. Good. He believes he's on the verge. Sometimes I think he really believes he's on the verge of his greatest victory. Amen. But amen. But he just doesn't have the revelation that we have.
Glory to God.
Amen. Revelation chapter 6. And verse 8, and it's a familiar scripture. I'll just read it. And I looked and beheld a pale horse. And his name that sat upon him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. Amen. There, so we're looking at this fourth horse rider, amen, which is the Antichrist for the end time. Amen. And he's riding on this pale horse. Amen. And it's not like any of the horses that the horsemen that had come before. It wasn't a red horse of bloodshed. Amen. It wasn't a black horse of a tangible demonic power, something that you could see. And it wasn't the white horse of that false religious spirit, the way it came early into the church, and it looks so different. But now there's a confusion there. It's a pale horse. Amen. There's an uncertainty. There's some kind of a mystery to it. Amen. There's a deceit. Yeah. Amen. To that pale horse. Yeah. Amen. And so this is we know that Brother Branham brought it out. This is the spiritual death that has come against God's people in this day. Amen. Yeah. Amen. And it's not any kind of new enemy. It's the same old enemy. Amen. But he's so refined his tactics against Christians of this day that he's become very deceitful. Yes, amen. Sir. Amen. And we want to check ourselves all the time. That's always right. Check yourself by the word. Amen. And not by the people around you. Amen. Not by our creator, our ideas. But we want to know that we know that we're not partaking of Satan's confusion. We're not partaking of that false religious spirit, but that it's a true, amen, the true spirit of God having his way in our lives. Amen.
Right.
Amen. And so, like I said, it's not a negative sermon tonight, but we want to expose the enemy in our lives. We want to expose his tactics, because he comes against us the same way, amen, as he always has. Amen. But it's become so subtle.
Yeah.
Amen. Just like it says in 2 Corinthians, lest Satan should get an advantage of us.
That's right.
For we are not ignorant of his devices.
Right,
amen. But the word of God tonight, he can take the veil off of Satan's tactics.
Yeah.
He can expose the enemy, amen, and show that once the enemy is exposed, he has no power. Amen. Amen. But when the veil is taken off, then we can see clearly how he's coming against us. Amen. Then the Spirit of God can rise up and answer that. Amen.
Amen.
And we can have a defense. We can have a rock in this day that Satan, even in Satan, in the height of his power, cannot prevail. Hallelujah. Amen. So we know that this spiritual death, it's what we call a denominational spirit. It's denominationalism that's come into the church. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We get this idea around the message, like because we believe the message of the hour, you know, because we were raised right, or we go to the right church. We're not in danger of falling into that same denominationalism. Like denominationalism is Pentecost, or it's just Baptist and Methodist and people like that. And just because we're a non-denominational church, amen, that we don't have to worry about those things. But no, you're Satan's real target. Amen. The bride of Christ is Satan's real target with this false religious spirit. Amen. And so you look at that. Those things out there, the Bible says the Antichrist would deceive the very elect if it were possible.
Amen.
Amen. But nobody, no message believer, nobody who's seen this glorious word, they're not going to be deceived by a pope. Amen. It won't be some kind of a new age religion that'll be deceitful, but it'll be something that looks so much like what we've been raised to believe is a true Christian. Amen. There's a deceit behind it where even the elect, amen, could be fooled for a while, but they won't be deceived.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Praises.
Amen. From the very beginning, we're approaching this subject with security, knowing that God will not allow us to be deceived.
Right.
Hallelujah. But we want to prosper in our Christian lives and bear fruit.
Lord Jesus.
Amen. So denominationalism. Amen. It's when Brother Branham preaches it. He's spoken on it many, many times and brought out many, many ways where he... See, he wasn't so much preaching against just the organization. It wasn't just... It wasn't necessarily the programs. Amen. It wasn't necessarily, the different churches and things that Brother Branham was against. Amen. But he was against when people would take their denomination and they would organize around their own man-made creed. Yeah. Amen. Instead of the living word. Yeah. Amen. So denomination is when you take, when somebody's willing, they'll turn away the word of God. That's instead it. Of making that their absolute, they'll believe what their church has to say. They'll believe what their pastor has to say. They'll believe what somebody on the radio has to say. Anything that justifies their opinions instead of the living word of God. Amen. And no absolute. Amen. That's where Satan can, he can take the foundation right out from under you when you have no rock to stand on. Yeah. You got nothing to take him back to say, no, this is the truth. This is what God said. Amen. When it's all just something reasoned in your mind. So we know in the message we are under this danger of this denominationalism coming in. Amen. This denominational spirit, it'll make us take our opinions. Amen. Yes, it'll take our, just the way we were raised, the way that our pastor taught the seven seals, or the way that our pastor taught this, taught that. Amen. But see, a pastor is a man. Amen. A preacher is a man. Amen. But the word of God, amen, never fails. Amen. So we don't want to organize around any of our opinions, any of our ideas. Amen. But we want a living word, as we preach here before. What does it take? It takes you gotta make it your absolute. We have to lay down all of our opinions and all of our ideas. But just in our human mind, we get so caught up all the time with the way that we think it should be.
Sure.
Or that's just the way I always saw it. You know? And then somebody will come in, amen, God will send a man to try to change your mind. Right. He'll try to present you with the truth, amen, because God wants us to receive the truth, but we'll reject it, amen, because it doesn't go away. It goes against sort of our preconception. Amen. But every time we come to church, every time we come before the word of God, we should be praying, God, let my preconception, let my whole worldview be laid down for this moment, so that God, you can speak in such a way to change me where I'm wrong. Amen. Because I'm a fallible man. Amen. We want a God to be sovereign. We want God to have liberty to speak. But that's why Brother Branham blasted denomination, because it took that leadership. It took that leadership of the Holy Ghost right out from the church.
Right,
amen. Because instead of following Christ, they'll follow a man.
That's right.
They'll follow their mind. Amen. Yes. They're not worshiping, amen, the God of... they're not worshiping the true God anymore, but this is the God of their mind. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Exactly right.
Amen. It's putting a period instead of a comma. Isn't that right? How Brother Branham talked it. We're so satisfied with... You know, don't we sometimes... We get so self-satisfied, like we've got it all figured out.
That's
amen.
Right.
Especially young people like me. We just know we got it all figured out. Amen. And we just wonder how all the people have been, all the older people with all their experience, how could they just be so far off? But we got it all figured out. Amen. But see, it takes a true Christian. Amen. A true Christian will be... I got to slow down here. So we let the Lord speak. Amen. A true Christian is somebody who, he's not worried about his ideas. He's not worried about the way that he reasoned all everything together. But he really, truly has a desire for God, amen, to reveal the pure word. Amen. We want to let a true Christian, he'll always humble himself to the word.
That's right.
Amen. And we must. Because there will always be times where we'll encounter the word, and the word will contradict. Amen. The way we've always seen it. Amen. But some people, instead of just taking the word for what it says, instead of a humility to make God sovereign, to make him your Lord, to make him your master, amen, but what do? We'll say, well, we need to go research this. We need to look through the Bible and find something that will make me not have to change the way that I'm living. Make me have to change the way that I'm thinking. What is it? It's a Laodicean spirit of laziness, amen. It's spiritual laziness, amen. But to not care enough. Really question ourselves. Isn't that right? Amen. And see, that's how Satan's coming against the church today with this comfort. Amen. This complacency that we get.
Amen, brother.
Amen. And every one of us deals with it. Amen. If you're honest with yourself, because it's just the way that Satan works. It's just the way the age is geared. Amen. Because this age, our whole society, our world, it rewards anybody for just being true to what they feel in their heart. Amen. The world tells you to follow your heart. Isn't that the most horrible thing that the world would try to teach our young people? All the pop culture, all the media, all these things are trying to teach the young people to just follow your heart. Just do what feels right. Amen. Because if you're true to your heart, amen, then you'll just never go astray. But the word says the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Amen. So we don't want to follow our heart. We don't want to follow the ideas of our mind. But we want God to be actively leading us. Yes. Amen. So we don't want a denominational spirit to come in and take the leadership right out of the church. Yeah. Amen. Because that's why we're suffering. That's why people are suffering. Every time God would send his word, amen, he would try to anoint that word to bring about something great, to bring something past, a real living word. Yes, amen. But see, somewhere in that process, a little humanness got mixed in with the seed of that word. Amen. And so the as much as you pour the rain on it, as much as that Holy Ghost is coming down in the church, as much as you go to church on Sunday morning and you feel his presence, amen, and the people are worshiping and dancing and screaming or whatever it is, as much as that rain is falling, when there's a little bit of humanness crossed with that seed, it'll never burst to life. Amen. It'll never produce life. Amen. It'll never be a living word, no matter how spiritual it is on Sunday morning. Amen. But see, we just get the wrong ideas sometimes. We're looking at the carnal manifestation. Amen. It could be so deceitful.
That's sure.
Amen. We want to hit close to home today. Amen. And we know that denominationalism, it'll put up walls of division in the body.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Because as soon as people get a little pride in the way that they see it, amen, and then they begin to look down on anybody who doesn't see it their way.
That's right.
Amen. And we can get that attitude sometimes. Yeah. Well, everybody whose their standards are tighter than mine is a conservative. And everybody whose standards are looser than mine is a liberal.
Sure.
Amen. Isn't that the way we look at it?
Yes, sir.
If only everybody was balanced like me.
But you know, the approach is completely wrong. I think we've preached this here before, but we want to speak it. That whole approach where you're taking the word, amen, you're taking the message of the hour, it's the truth, that you're taking the truth,
sure,
but you're taking this quote and this scripture and tying it together, amen, but with a goal, you had a goal in your mind the entire time.
Right.
When you're taking the word and you're just trying to squeeze everything into place to make the picture that you want it to present. Amen, don't we do that as humans? We want to take every scripture that'll justify, our opinion, amen, but lay down the rest.
Yeah.
Amen, that's not an absolute, my brother, my sister. It's nothing. You can't stand on that, because if you talked yourself into your belief, amen, somebody can come along and talk you right back out of it.
Amen.
Satan's a really good talker.
Yeah.
Amen. He'll talk you right back out of it.
Yeah.
Amen. But see, so what we do is we try to live a life that's good or that's okay according to, you know, the way that we interpret the scripture.
Right?
It's a personal, a private interpretation. We apply to the scripture and we say, well, when you read it the way I read it, it says that what I'm doing is okay.
Mm-hmm.
What I am doing is right.
Mercy.
Doesn't it? Amen. And that's the way that we approach it. That entire approach is what God has warned us strongly against. Because the scripture is not a private interpretation.
Right.
But the word seed was meant to be left pure.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. And if you leave it as the pure word and take it for what it says, then the Holy Ghost is free to anoint that word, rain on that seed, and bring it to life.
Amen.
Amen. But when we try to get our hand in the process, we mess up the whole thing. So what we do is what we're doing, instead of being Christians, instead of being submitted to the Lord, we become lawyers. Amen. And what we've taken the word like a law, and we take this scripture, amen, and this quote, and we twist them all together to say, well, my interpretation is the right one, and I can argue it better than you can. Lawyers, amen. And so it's legalism. It doesn't matter how loose that you live, and it doesn't matter how tight you live. See, it is not just Amish people that are legalistic.
That's right.
Amen. But anybody who will approach the word to say, I can prove I have a right to do this, is completely wrong.
Sure. Right.
But a true Christian will give up his rights and say, what pleases my Lord? What was my Lord will for me to do? Amen.
Yes.
Amen. So see, our approach can be so wrong. That's when we get like church people. Amen. We want to start bickering on the word and causing division and cast these people away because they don't agree. Cast those people away because they don't agree. Amen. But see, the Bible says, how can two walk together except they agree? But see, Brother Branham brought this out, that me and you, any one of you, we're never going to see eye to eye 100%. We're never going to come to full agreement in our own interpretation. So how could there be agreement? How could there be unity? Only if both of us will lay aside our interpretation and acknowledge that the Word is the truth. It's the true Word of God. Amen. So if I'm in humility to the Word, if I'm in surrender to the Word, and you're in surrender to the Word, we'll have unity. Because God will have freedom, amen, to bring His Word to life. Amen. But the way it gets in the church is it just becomes a debate, you know. Somebody, God will bring in a minister and he'll preach a wonderful sermon, and the brothers just can't wait to get out to Arby's to fellowship so they can. Well, I shouldn't have said Arby's. You'll think I'm talking about. I'm not criticizing anybody at my church. No, we go to Arby's all the time. But for example, if they went to Arby's, they can't wait to get there and fellowship.
Yeah.
So they can just tear everything he said to pieces, amen, and make themselves feel better about the way that they've chose to live.
Yeah, amen.
My, it's a false religious spirit, amen.
That's right.
And that's why we have all these walls of division in the body. You've got this church can't fellowship with this church, and this pastor gets up every Sunday to criticize this pastor, amen. Then he brings in an evangelist to back him up to say to just take all the credibility and all this backstabbing. Brother Branham called it murder.
That's
what it is, amen. Guilty of murder, amen. Because instead of having the humility to admit, amen, that we don't have it all figured out, amen, we're so willing to cast everyone else away. Amen. It's selfish. It's prideful. Amen. But it's what the world tells you to do. Amen. That's Satan's religion.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Come on.
So all this bickering, all these things, this man-made interpretation, it's a creed. Amen. We live by our own creed, our own dogma. Amen. Just because, see, and people think because they left the Baptist and gave up the Baptist creed, or they left the Methodist church and gave up that creed, amen, that means they came out of denominationalism. But as long as there's tradition, as long as there's a ritualism in your heart where you're just following Christ in the way that you were raised, or you're just doing it the way that seems good to you, it's a creed. Amen. It's just you left a popular creed and went to your own personal creed, amen. Amen. But God's word calls for total separation from all of our opinions, our ideas, dreams, ambitions, hopes, thoughts. Anything human must be laid aside, amen, to receive that pure word. Take the word over anything your heart says. Yea, let God be true and every man's word a lie. Hallelujah. Amen. Otherwise, we have ritualism coming in, and it's just like Christ said, you've made the word of God of none effect through your traditions.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Amen. Brother. Even if they're good traditions many times, but we do them in such a way where it's just, well, that's just the way things are done.
Right.
That's the way conduct, order, and doctrine said to do it, and bless God, that's the way we're going to do it. You know, and see, I don't think Brother Branham came to start a new creed, amen?
Yeah.
Amen. But see, what we do is we all have these traditions. We've got these rituals. It's just the way we were raised. Yeah. It's just the way we were brought up. It's perfectly natural. Every human being, amen, has traditions. A human being is a creature of habit.
Yeah. Sure.
Yes, sir. Right? And we just kind of go along through life doing what seemed to work one time, and we'll try it the next time, and just stumbling along, right? Amen. Just wandering around, no leadership. Amen. No guidance, but God promised to be our guide.
That's right.
Amen. He promised He would never leave us or forsake us. He promised He'd be the inside teacher
that
would lead us into all truth.
Amen.
Amen. But see, you've got to let Him lead you.
Praise God.
Amen. But we'll hold on to this and hold on to that, just like so Jesus, He had to come and blast these Pharisees. Amen. Because they thought, because they were message believers, isn't that right? They took what the prophet said, and they were just living it just the way the prophet said. Amen. And as long as I live better according to the prophet than you do, then I'm safe and you're questionable.
Yeah.
Amen. See, it's just this spirit of pride. It's a self-righteous spirit.
Yeah.
Amen. When we're looking at our own works, we're looking at our own successes according to our own lives. We're looking at our own interpretation of the truth.
That's right, brother.
Amen. It's just completely wrong from the beginning to the end.
Yes,
sir. Amen. A completely wrong way to live a Christian life.
Amen.
Amen. But we should pray. We should ask God to lead us.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. This idea has just been burning in my heart for months now. That about how Satan has been so successful in taking the leadership of the Holy Ghost right out of the message.
Come on, brother.
Amen. Because people, they want to come and they want to look to some man. They want to look to their pastor or look to some evangelist or their favorite preacher or somebody will say it the way that they want it to be said. Oh, amen. And so we people want to follow their own ideas instead of ask God what his idea is about.
Amen.
What are his thoughts?
Right.
His thoughts are higher than our thoughts.
Amen.
So that Satan's, he's had such success in the world, and now in the message, you see the leadership coming right out. Amen. God can't, God can't take a preacher off his notes, because then the people would question his gift, because it wasn't polished. It wasn't eloquent, Amen.
Sure.
I'd rather come up and preach a mess and know that God spoke to somebody.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes,
amen.
Lord.
But see, there's a pressure. Amen.
There
I feel
is.
It. Brother Andrew feels it. There's a pressure in this day that you've got to come and you've got to live up to this idea that the people have. Why? Why? Because people in the message, we'll just say it straight. People worship intellectualism.
That's it.
Yes.
It's true.
We've come to a place where we so worship man's ideas, man's intellect. Amen. That we'll take it above the word of God every time.
Well, sure. Get it, brother.
They worship intellectualism. Why is it? The scripture says why. Because they've got itching ears.
Yes.
Amen.
Oh,
so they heap to themselves teachers.
Right.
Somebody who will come and he'll justify, amen, their little sin. Justify their little bit of pleasure and unrighteousness. But he'll come and he'll say it in a way that's so pretty. And it'll be so eloquent. And it'll sound so good to the ear. And sound so reasonable. Amen. That instead of doing what God's word says,
amen,
we'll believe somebody, amen, who will scratch our itch.
Amen.
And let's look at it in,
God have mercy.
Oh dear, I believe it's 2 Corinthians. No, 2 Thessalonians. Amen. This Antichrist spirit, it's Satan coming against the church. Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
Yes, sir.
And verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed. That's the Antichrist. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Hallelujah. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Amen. There's supernatural around this Antichrist.
There is.
Amen. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Now, why do they perish?
Come on, brother.
How is he succeeding? How is Satan finding success in this day? He hasn't really changed his tactic. We'll see. Why do they perish? Because they receive not the love of the truth.
Oh, amen.
That they might be saved.
That's it.
They had the truth. Amen. But they didn't have the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Sincerity, but sincere belief in a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. But they didn't believe the truth, but they had pleasure in unrighteousness. Amen. No love for the truth. See, how did Satan prevail against that first Eve? Brother Branham said she got a little dissatisfied with the word for her day.
Yes,
just a little dissatisfied with the word. There was a little bit of, she had a little bit of pleasure in unrighteousness. There's just a little curiosity, amen, toward what the serpent had to offer. Just a little bit of a pull there. Amen. But she began to listen to that, and with one word, just one little word that Satan twisted, one little word he stuck in there, amen, because he was able to deceive her and make her fall. Amen. And so it was just one little word, but the only reason he could get to her was there's a little dissatisfaction. And so many times, because we live in a human body, and we've got this human spirit, there's such a pull in this day from the world, such a pull of worldliness, amen. And so we feel that pull on our flesh, and what we do is we begin to get a little curious. We begin, instead of shutting it off, instead of resisting the enemy right away, we'll let just a little bit of pleasure and unrighteousness come in. Amen. Amen. Instead of surrendering, instead of repenting right away, instead of laying it down on God's altar, we'll hold on to it a little bit because we're just curious where this little string is pulling us to. Amen. So a little bit of pleasure and unrighteousness, just a one little bit of dissatisfaction with the word.
Yeah,
amen. When she had all the fruit of the Garden of Eden, but there was just one tree that piqued her curiosity. Amen. So, and that's the same way Satan comes in this day. It gets you to just take a little bit of pleasure in a little tiny little white sin. Amen. Just a little pleasure in unrighteousness.
Amen,
amen. And then when the word comes, when God sends a minister to come and blast that thing, but we don't, instead of laying it down, instead of surrendering it to God, we'll hold on to it just a little bit. And we'll hold on to it till Satan gets a minister in there to come and say, actually, if you twist this and put a word in here and throw that whole chapter away, amen, then I can convince you to believe that there's nothing wrong with holding on to that little pleasure in unrighteousness. And right there, as innocent as it seems, as simple as it seems, we've rejected the Word of God. Amen. Completely rejected the Word of God.
Exactly right.
Amen. And so Satan has prevailed around the message so much because people are looking for the intellectual man to come and justify their pleasure and unrighteousness.
Amen.
To make it sound okay, to make it sound a little good. Well, you know, that quote's a little old-fashioned. This quote was before 63. So we'll just push those things aside and let me weave my lies. Amen. Amen. And it's death.
Yes.
As soon, just the moment that she took anything but the Word of God, the moment she let her dissatisfaction drive her to a decision to believe Satan's word instead of God's word, it brought about every sickness, every death, all the suffering of mankind came about because she rejected one word.
Amen, brother.
Amen. Amen. It's and so, but what we've done around the message is we've taken this pleasure of unrighteousness, just let it run rampant. That's why worldliness can come in now without anybody questioning in it. Amen. Because standards have been so let down because it's not comfortable. Amen. To hold up the standard of His word. But God is looking for standard bearers in this day.
Amen.
When the enemy shall come in like a flood, as he has in our day, He says, I'll raise up a standard against it. Amen. Don't let the standard drop, people of God. Amen. But hold on to the standard of this word. Hold on. Make it. We want it. It should be our absolute. It should be our rock. It should never be something that we would have anything in us to question. Amen. But as soon as those little doubts rise, as soon as a little bit of dissatisfaction starts to rise, we've got to quench it right there. Resist that enemy. Don't reason with him. Don't talk to him.
That's
He's
right,
silver-tongued.
Brother.
Amen. That's just like he was in the garden. He's subtle above
Same.
Anybody else.
That's right.
Amen. But God's word
Hallelujah.
Is God's word. Amen. It doesn't change.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But what we've taken, we've let these intellectual men come in and they just, because the message, we got dissatisfied and the message, well, the messenger died 50 years ago and now it's a little old fashioned. Some of the language, it doesn't quite pertain to our day, you know? And some of these theologians out here, amen, some of the, they've got good things. You know, of course, we wouldn't want to bring that over the pulpit, but maybe for the young people, you know, maybe a little Joshua Harris, maybe a little Francis Chan or this theologian or this, you know, this doctor or whatever it is, and then this psychologist bring in all these. Why do we need to go out to the world and for our doctrine? Why do we need to go out there to look for a further truth when the mystery of Christ, who is the full truth, has been revealed?
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. It's Satan. It's Satan's
right.
word.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And as soon as you try to mix that with the pure message of the hour, it'll die right there.
Yeah.
It'll
right.
produce death. It's
right.
hybrid. It's death.
Right.
Amen. It can't bring life. It's death.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. But what we've done, with the message just isn't pretty enough for people. So they want to paint it up. Just like that, Brother Bram called the Pharisees whitewashed tombs.
Yeah.
Amen. They whitewashed sepulchers, and they just paint it over to make it look real pretty, but all that's in it is death.
Right.
Amen. But so people, they'll take the Church of God and they'll say, well, let's just take a little eyeliner and just cover over so she'll wink at sin. Amen. Let's just cut off a little bit of that glory of the supernatural being free to work in the church.
Yeah,
amen.
Right.
Just so it looks a little more fashionable.
Yeah,
just so it doesn't
right.
look so old-fashioned and so weird to people. Amen. Amen. But let's pretty it up. Let's take those skirts and just hike them up a little above the knees. Amen.
Yeah.
So she'll come to church on Sunday morning and flash the preacher while he preaches. Come on.
Hey.
Amen. It's what's happening, friends.
Yeah.
That's what is coming into the church. Amen.
Yeah.
Satan has poured out all the power of hell against us in this day.
Yes,
amen.
Sir.
But not a one of us, let down that standard.
Right.
Amen. Let not one of us let a little dissatisfaction come up in here and hinder God's work in this day. When He's called us such glory, when He's created us for such a mighty ministry in this day, let's not sacrifice that for a little temporary pleasure,
amen,
that this world has to offer. Amen. And let everything become dim in the light of God's word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But they've so painted up the church till it's a Jezebel religion.
Right.
And that's why it's gone to the dogs. Amen. Amen. Because it's a painted up Jezebel.
That's all it is.
Amen. And the Bible speaks of that Jezebel spirit where she'll take her pleasure in unrighteousness and reject God's word.
Yeah.
Doesn't care what anybody has to say about it. Judge not that ye be not judged. Some people, that's the only scripture they know.
That's right.
Amen. But it's not me coming to try to damn you to hell. Amen. Or preach fire, rain down fire and brimstone upon you. Amen. But the word judges you clearly.
Amen.
Amen. We're being judged by the word. And by the word, it'll become obvious what's on the inside there.
Right.
Because it's manifesting time.
Amen.
And everything that's inside is coming to full fruition.
Yeah.
Amen. And the little secret sins that once had to be so hidden in the church, where they had to hide it from everybody, amen, because it was so unaccepted, now they can just sit there on the front row, amen, and raise their hands in sin.
That's right.
Right.
Wow. Exactly right.
Amen. But because the standard has been let down.
Amen.
Because somewhere along the line, somebody, amen, took their idea, their interpretation, the comfortable interpretation instead of God's word.
Amen.
Oh, the word is a sharp sword.
Yes,
amen.
Yes, sir.
Hey, help me, Lord.
Hey.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Amen. But we get so comfortable. Because, you know, our interpretation is always so convenient because we take the path of least resistance.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? We get real comfortable, amen? And we're okay with just going to church on Sunday and singing some songs and going back to work and then going back on Wednesday, and if we're feeling real spiritual, we'll listen to a message on Friday to kind of bridge the gap.
Oh.
Amen? See, it's so ritualistic.
Hit it, brother.
Amen. It's so dead.
Right.
Amen. To where God, amen, he might be, God could be there just trying to beat on the doors of your heart to speak to you. He's dying to have fellowship with his people,
right.
But we've rejected the presence of God. We've rejected the voice of God, amen, in favor of our own comfortable ideas.
Amen.
Amen. When God asks us to just sweep aside a little bit of the trash of our ideas, just so he can enter in. Amen. Just to take some of the blockage out of the way so that he can flow freely. Amen. Oh my, but oh, it's because the leadership of the Holy Spirit, it's been totally cast away in this day. It's so hard to hear his voice, even to hear his voice. Oh my, when you think about it, every time I read a story about how the men of God of old, how God could just come to them where they were, you know, and just take them aside and speak to them so clearly.
Yeah.
But in this day, it's a real effort. It's a real effort to listen to God, to hear God. Amen. Because there's so much noise in this world, and the minute we get our ears attuned to one of those voices, amen, instead of his voice, amen, it begins to block that out. Right? Amen.
Exactly.
Satan, he's trying everything that he can do to put little blockages in where the Holy Ghost can't flow freely.
Right, amen.
Right? Amen. And see, we don't, and the problem is we get comfortable there and we aren't hungering for the very thing that will give us life.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
How could it be that we could get so comfortable, amen, with this secondhand world, amen, with this world that really has nothing lasting to offer and will reject the eternal life, the eternal truth of God.
Amen.
Amen. How could it happen? Amen. Because you know what it is? You know, you ever heard of something called an appetite suppressant? There's a man named, I think his name's Les Stroud or something like this, and he's a survivalist. And he'll go out in the wilderness somewhere and just live off the land for a few days. And I guess some people think that's fun. But you know what? He'd do that. And I was watching him do that one time. And he was out in the swamp somewhere in South America, I think. And he took this little plant. And what was happening, he hadn't eaten in days. You know, and he's just starving to death and so hungry until the hunger is just about to drive him mad. And you know what he really needs? He needs a big steak dinner. He needs to call in the helicopter. Amen. Get out to the capital city and have a big steak dinner. Amen. But what he'll do, because he's just, for some reason, he's just trying hard to survive out in this wilderness.
Wow. Hey.
Amen. The option is right there to get back to civilization.
Wow.
And get
amen.
Fed. Amen. But what he'll do to help him last out there in that halfway misery, amen, is he'll take a certain plant. It's called an appetite suppressant. And he'll begin to chew on that plant and it tastes terrible. Just tastes terrible, you know, and his face will screw up. But see what it's a there's a drug in that plant
That'll get him numb.
Yeah.
And it'll make him numb, and it'll kind of mess up his stomach a little bit to where he doesn't feel hungry anymore.
Huh.
Amen. Starving to death.
That's it.
He could starve to death eating that plant because there's no nourishment in it for it.
That's right.
He'll keep chewing and chewing and chewing. Because the minute he stops chewing, that hunger rises up again. So what do? We get out in the world and start feeding on the things of the world, and it's an appetite suppressant. Because there's no true joy in it. There's no true pleasure out there. Amen. But we'll chew on it. We'll feast on it because the minute we stop. Amen. That's why people, they'll wake up in the morning, sit in front of the TV.
Right.
Amen. And at midnight that night, they'll still be sitting in front of the TV, because if they stop feeding for a moment, then all the darkness, all the emptiness, all that void will rise up again, and they can't stand that hunger. Amen.
Yeah.
When they're just,
exactly right.
just from here to here, from the word, the bread of life, amen, that would bring them out of their hunger, amen, and they would never thirst again.
Amen.
But for some reason, we keep feeding and feeding and feeding on an appetite suppressant.
Oh, God, help us.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
So we've lost our hunger for the things of God because we've so engorged ourselves on the world's temporal pleasure.
Sure.
Isn't that the truth?
Exactly right.
Amen. And they don't really satisfy.
No, they don't.
No, but that's why people they'll hop from a movie to a video game to a drug to alcohol to a girlfriend to a new girlfriend somebody else's girlfriend. And see what they're just trying to feed that hunger.
Oh,
amen.
Right.
And just keep it kind of halfway fed and stumble through life as best they can.
Yep.
Amen. Right. Some people, they're real good at living that way. Just real good at living in misery. Amen.
Exactly.
I wasn't.
Right.
I wasn't.
No, sir.
No, I was contemplating suicide at 12 years old because, you know, I had everything in life. I was raised in a Christian family, had a loving family. We had made enough money. We never went without. Amen. I had love. I had friendship. Many wonderful friends all over the world. You know, I had good health, good sound mind. Everything that this world is presenting as the ultimate goal of happiness.
Right.
Amen. Everything that people, some people, they give their lives trying to achieve the kind of life I was born with.
Right.
Amen. But what did it produce? Emptiness.
Amen.
Amen. You look at a man who had everything that his heart desired. Look at King Solomon.
Exactly.
He had everything. Amen. Just all the riches and the wisdom and prestige and everything that you could think that a man could desire in his heart. Solomon fulfilled everything. He said, I did everything that my hands found to do. Did everything in my heart. He says, I built houses and vineyard, planted vineyards, and I did all these things. He said he gratified every lust of the flesh.
Yes, right.
And he said, behold, it's vanity, vanity, vexation, and there's nothing good under the sun.
Amen.
Right. Amen. There's nothing good in this life. There's nothing that the world has to offer that gives meaning. Nothing worth living for. Amen. Amen. So there I was, just a little child with everything. Amen. And yet nothing. Because there was nothing in the world that could save me from the fear.
That's right.
Amen. That I had. Deep psychological, horrible, irrational fears that just tormented me. Amen. And the depression, such a heavy depression that you think children don't have depression. Well, I'm here to tell you that this world, it's a depressed world.
That's right.
There's no happiness in it.
No, it's not.
Amen. It's a horrible, dark place.
Amen.
It's
Amen.
Thirsty. Amen. It's hungry. There's nothing the world has to offer us.
Amen.
Amen. But for a time, it satisfies until we get alone again.
Oh,
things go quiet, the power goes out, and the TV turns off, and you're sitting there in your emptiness with no purpose for living.
Sure.
Right.
Amen. That's what will drive a 12-year-old boy to want to take his own life.
Yes, sure.
It doesn't take a great philosopher to understand. It takes a 12-year-old boy to tell you there's no point to this life.
That's right.
Amen. But then when God sends his word along and sends his light into the darkest of existences, you'll never be the same.
That's right.
He said, there be out of your belly would flow a river of living water, and whoever drinks from that well, he'll never thirst again.
Amen.
But what we'll do is we'll feast on this world, and we'll drink so heavily from this world. Amen. And what is it? What does it bring? It just brings spiritual death.
Yeah.
Amen. Until we become so worldly, we become so starchy, till there's no leadership of the Holy Spirit because we've just blotted it out. You can't hear His voice because you've plugged your ears. Amen. We can get in such a state. Amen. Of misery right in the message.
Sir. That's right, brother.
There was a brother in a church, I know him personally, the other day, that shocked everybody. He tried to take his own life. Had a family, had children. Amen. Grew up in the message. Amen. He was coming to a message church. He looked good. He smiled on Sunday morning. Amen. But miserable.
That's right.
How could that grieves me, friends. How somebody could live so close to this fountain of life. Amen. And just be miserable in the darkness of death.
Amen.
But see, you can't see it going on so many times. It's so deceitful.
Sure.
Because you take those people, they'll come to church and they'll smile because they're too proud to admit that there's this message isn't doing anything for them.
Wow. Yes.
Because they've taken this dead letter instead of a living word.
That's right, brother.
Amen.
There's no anointing there, no spirit there, amen, to bring it to life.
That's it, brother.
Amen. And every one of us, we can fall into that rut so much faster than we think.
Sure can, amen.
Amen. It's something to really, really be concerned about, I believe.
Come on.
Amen. But there's so much pride that we won't admit those things. And we become Pharisees. We become Sadducees.
Yeah.
You know? You know, and people, and we get so self-righteous right in the middle of our misery.
That's true.
That's it. That's why people lash out at their brothers and their sisters.
That's right, brother.
Man, because there's no contentment up in here.
Amen.
Amen. All right, where do we want to go from here?
Good.
You know, and people, that's why people got to, you know, some people got to run from this church to that church to this service to that service to this youth camp to there, you know, to... because the minute they get out, they just fall right back on their face.
Right.
You know, they gotta get a pick me up every time they're in
church.
Sure. You know that. Why are people so tossed about? Why can't people live a Christian life? Amen. Brother Brandt, you know, but so unless we're in church and feeling good and hopping and dancing, everything's fine. But then we walk right back. Why do we walk right back to misery? Why is it? Brother Brandt says, now all your sensations. As we Pentecostal people like to jump and shout, he says, I do too.
Amen.
I believe that's right.
Sure
we
do.
Like to speak with tongues. He
Amen.
Says, I believe that's a gift of God, but the devil can impersonate anything you can produce in that line.
Yes, sir.
But notice, then it shows that something's wrong.
Yes.
Amen. The devil can impersonate, but it'll show that there's something wrong because the life of Christ isn't flowing through the church the way it should.
Oh my.
The body, the bride, it's not going through there like it should. Now, it finally clogged up somewhere.
Yes, sir.
Amen. It got clogged up somewhere. Something. There was somewhere where we shut it off. Amen. Somewhere where we put God in a box. Amen. Somewhere where a little room in the house where we wouldn't let Him come in.
That's it, brother.
Amen. And it'll block the flow of the Holy Spirit. He can't be free. He can't produce what He wants to produce because He's been shut in. Amen. The Christian life, it's total and abject surrender to God.
Yes.
Amen. It's the only thing that will produce life because He's the only one who has eternal life.
Exactly
He
right.
is eternal life.
That's right,
Amen.
Brother.
Amen. Everything else, it's death. It's temporary. It passes away.
Amen.
And so we want to be so full of His life. His nature, that's the real problem. Is people, we've brought them into a church, amen, and we've tried to reform them, tried to convert them to our interpretation, try to make them say amen to what we say in Sunday school instead of having a birth, rebirth on the inside and inside. And so you've got people, they've sat in the message church loyally for years and decades, amen, and they're sitting there in death. Amen. Sitting there so dead and don't even know it. Amen. Because all they've been taught to do is to just accept what their pastor teaches right from the message of the hour. Just to say amen to what Brother Branham said and hallelujah, you're in. Amen. But the Bible says, the Word of God says, ye must be born again. Amen. And there's nothing that will produce the life of God except the new birth. And there's nothing that will produce the new birth except the complete death of the old man.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So there are people who have never died out. They never laid down, maybe they laid down everything but one dream, everything but one ambition, everything but one opinion, one thought, and they never came to a death. So they never really experienced life. Amen. Never really came to a new birth, but they to a church and they feel comfortable and happy, amen, and completely satisfied with their church.
Yeah.
Amen.
Preach, brother.
When the nature in there is the nature of the world. They never had a name change.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And so the Spirit of God can't flow through the church like He wants to.
Amen.
That's right.
Because it got clogged up, amen, on somebody's baggage.
Oh, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Skip ahead here. Amen. And so, it's come so close. Man, so deceitful, that Antichrist spirit in this day.
Amen.
You know, people looking for the mark of the beast.
Uh-huh.
Amen. They're looking for some kind of chip to get embedded in your wrist or you know, you get a mark on your forehead or something, literally, you know, and... Or the Catholic Church will come in and stamp something on your hand, you know. And they're waiting for that to happen. That's the mark of the beast. And they say, I'll never reject Christ when they come to behead me, and I'll never do this and this. But look at what's happening right in our midst in the spiritual realm. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So look how Satan's coming in.
Yes, sir.
Brother Branham said, remember, we found without one mistake that the mark of the beast is a mark of apostasy.
Yes.
That is, church members hanging to their church instead of walking in the light.
Amen. Right.
They reject light and there's nothing left but darkness.
Amen.
And it's both Catholic and Protestant and message.
Yes,
amen. People, they'll hang on to that message church, hang on to that message name, amen, and find so much security in the name message when there's one name under heaven whereby men may be saved.
Amen.
Amen. And the only way to come under that name is to be born again of His life.
Amen.
To become bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh, married to Christ the Word. Amen. Never, ever take a man's idea. Never take your opinion and reject the Word because you're on horrible, dangerous ground. But it's so deceptive, that mark of the beast, that remember, sitting right in a message church.
Amen.
On the front row. Yeah. Amen. Some of them pastors, some of them song leaders, some of them deacons, sitting right there in a message church, serving that church loyally, loving that church, loving that message, loving those quotes, loving to argue with everybody about those quotes. Amen. And so much self-righteousness and how well they can quote it, but the life behind that word is not in there, and they could take on the mark of the beast right on the front row. Amen. Of Truth Tabernacle.
Good.
Amen. See how close He wants to come.
Come on,
amen. And how we must be in prayer. So be in earnest to God. That desire that, see, we're Quint, that thirst for more of God. That thirst for that closer walk.
Amen.
It's being shut out by our lust for the things of the world. Amen. We're chewing on that appetite suppressant. Amen. And it's blotting out the thirst that God put in there to drive us to Him.
Amen.
Oh my, don't do it, friends.
Lord.
Well, that's a rebuke to me.
Amen.
Help me, Lord.
Yes.
Amen. Not to fall under spiritual death.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't mean the loss of my soul, even if it doesn't send me to hell, I don't want to just squeak by.
Yeah.
But I want to have real victory in my life. I want to be the overcomer that the Word prophesied I would be. I don't want to give up my rights, amen, and be deceived by Satan and let him keep me from fulfilling one Word of God that was made, that was designed, it was in His mind before the foundation of the world for me to fulfill.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Amen.
We love you, Lord.
Brother Branham said, in the last days, there's going to be two classes of people. One of them will have the seal of God.
Amen.
One of them will have the mark of the beast.
Amen.
Amen. There's no middle ground.
Come on,
sealed
brother.
By God. Amen. Sealed by His Holy Spirit, His nature coming in, a new birth. Sealed by His life. Amen. The seed of His Word. Amen. Or the mark of the beast. There's no middle ground. It's black and white, and you're on one side or the other. There's no riding the fence.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He says, well, if the seal of God is the Holy Ghost, then to be without the Holy Ghost is the mark of the beast.
Right.
Sure.
And the Bible said, but the Bible said the two spirits would be so close together,
so close,
it would deceive the very elected if it was possible. Like I said, the Pope's not going to deceive a message believer.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. It won't be these Baptist people that are bringing in all these rock and roll artists and heavy metal bands and things into their church and just living any way they want to. That's not deceitful.
No.
Looks just like the world.
Right.
Amen. But what's deceitful is when somebody can see why the only way that the mark of the beast could be deceitful, the only way it could deceive people is if it looked just like the Holy Ghost at times. Right? Because what people do, what young people do, they'll go to youth camp. I'm not against youth camps.
Right.
No, I'm very much for youth camps and youth ministry. But see, the young people, they can be deceived. They'll go to youth camp. Amen. They'll know they've got problems in their lives.
Sure.
Amen. But instead of taking God's word, they'll take what in their mind they've got to do. And they'll get so much fear, so much stress over it, strain, and try to work something up.
Amen.
Some kind of man-made experience, you know? And sometimes, the people in church, you know, those of us who are dealing with the youth, speaking to the youth, we don't help. Because we're pushing them to some kind of a Pentecostal thing or something like this. So the young people, they'll go to camp and they'll jump and they'll scream and they'll shout and they'll dance. I did it too. Amen. And what they'll do, they'll experience the Holy Ghost.
Sure.
It's the Holy Ghost.
Sure is.
Amen. But it falls on their flesh, falls on their spirit, but they don't know that they must die.
Amen.
To the inside of the inside. That nature inside there has to die.
Amen.
Oh my. So they become deceived. They'll go home and say, well, I danced. I screamed. I shouted. You know, I did the church. You know, I did what everybody else was doing in church.
That's right.
And see, people at home, they'll do the same thing. They'll go on Sunday morning. They'll lift their hands. They'll pray. They'll worship just like everybody else in the church. And as long as they're comparing themselves to everybody around them, and they're kind of, you know, living as close to the standard as they can, they feel like that's what it's all about.
Right.
They're good. They're okay. That's the Holy Ghost.
Sure.
It might legitimately be the Holy Ghost. But there was no new birth.
That's it. Because
the young people, they'll go home, and that same nature's lying in there. They'll return right back to the same problems that they had, like a dog to its vomit.
Amen.
Amen. Because there's no nature change.
Amen.
I've seen young people, I know what it is to be under that deceit, and I've seen young people struggle with it for years until they get so frustrated with trying to live up to a church experience. Amen. That they'll just throw it in the towel and walk away from the message completely.
Sure.
And be happier out there than they were in church.
Yeah.
Amen. Because they never encountered life.
Yeah.
Never had a real experience with God Himself. Amen. But they got in to church and just got worked up for a little while.
That's it. Exactly right.
What do we call the Holy Ghost in this day? And then some people,
some people, they got a revelation about that. So they say, well, you know, that we're going to throw all that stuff away. You know, and jumping, screaming, shouting, speaking in tongues, prophesying, all those gifts of the Spirit, that was for Pentecost.
Right.
Amen. And now we have the Word.
Better, brother.
Well, how many young people is your Word doing any good?
Yeah.
Exactly. Amen. Because what we've done is we've made it so starchy,
yeah.
We've cast out the life of God along with those gifts. Amen. People have become so afraid of the deceitfulness of the supernatural, they'll cast the supernatural out completely.
Sure.
Help us, Lord.
Amen,
amen. When God is so desiring, amen, to use His bride,
exactly.
And work in His bride, in the midst of His bride, like He has never worked on this earth before.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It's not a public show. We're not looking for, you know, we're not looking for some kind of great mighty revival to come in, but see that steady, that supernatural God who's there every time you need Him.
Amen.
See, but we've gotten so contented with knowing the quotes. We've got so contented with being a message believer and feeling better than the Baptist, feeling better than the Pentecost or wherever we came from. Amen. And we get the self-righteous message, you see, spirit, to where we're not worried that our young people are fleeing the message left and right. Amen. That's why there's a great falling away. That's why there's apostasy, because there's no new birth.
Right.
And without the new birth, they'll take on the mark of the beast and they'll run into apostasy. That fruit will show sooner or later. Amen. But many times they'll sit in church for 50 years miserable before that day comes. Don't sit there. Don't sit thirsty next to the river of life.
Amen.
There's a supernatural God in this day,
Lord.
And I've encountered Him, and many of you have encountered Him. He's Jesus Christ,
Glory
the same yesterday, today, and forever. We don't have to take some kind of a dried up dead creed, some kind of a rotten old fruit, amen, when the fruit of the Spirit, amen, is perfectly, fully available to the bride of Christ.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Those gifts are for the bride.
Sure are.
Amen. There were a lot of gifts that Eliezer brought that went to Rebecca's father. Was it Laban?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't Laban. Anyway, Rebecca's father, he gave her a lot of gifts, him a lot of gifts. Amen. But the finest gifts, amen, the gifts that he brought, those were that supernatural that he brought was for the bride.
Uh-huh.
Amen. Amen. So why are we so scared to take hold of what's ours?
Amen, brother.
What? Because we just reason with it,
That's
and
it
kills your faith right there.
That's it, brother. Exactly right.
Amen. Speaking from experience, I'm not saying I'm superior to anybody else. I know this because this is how Satan fights me. It's how he fights you too.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. It's how he works in this day.
Sure.
It's deceitful. So deceitful that somebody could sit there at church and not know that they're lost.
That's right.
Sure. Amen. Because everybody's telling them, well, you believe the message. Satan's a message believer.
Yes.
Amen, Satan doesn't know that Brother Branham was the prophet of God. Amen. It's just like the seven sons of Sheba. They tried to overcome in the name of Jesus whom Paul preached.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen. He said, Paul I know, Jesus I know, who are you?
That's right, brother.
Amen. I preached for young people at a hayride in Michigan there. We preached on identity crisis. Amen. We took that scripture, who are you? They're people, they don't know who they are.
Exactly.
Just like Jesus sat down with his disciples and he said, who do you say that I, the Son of
Man?
They said, well, my pastor said that you were Elijah. My pastor said, see, Son of Man, prophet. So they said, well, this one said you're Elijah. That one said you're Moses and Isaiah and all that. This one said this. This one said that. This is what I've been told. This is what my pastor preaches. And this is what they taught me in Sunday school. That's all they got to answer him. They said, who do you say?
That's it.
Who are you? What's your opinion? Amen. What do you believe? Amen. What do you really believe? And they said, there was somebody who had a revelation.
Amen.
Somebody who had a revelation, and it didn't come from what he was taught.
Amen.
We got so much education around the message, but he wasn't taught, but it was revealed to him of the Father. Amen. To say, thou art the Christ,
Amen.
The Son of the living God. That's what God is asking the same question today. He's saying, some man see the Son of Man ministry.
That's it.
They're seeing a prophet, but when you look at that prophet, who do you see?
Amen. That's it.
Amen. And I see Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. This message wasn't meant to glorify a man named William Branham. And the message wasn't sent to make me into a good little Branhamite. And it wasn't made to call me into a church. Call me to a tradition or some kind of creed. And it wasn't made to bring me into some new truth that would allow me to look down on everybody else for having the old truth. But it was meant to bring me to Christ Himself. A love affair, a real, true religion. Amen. A true worship. Amen. Love between man and God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's my message. That's my word for this day. It's not a dried up old letter. It's not a dead creed. It has nothing to do with my opinions. What I think about it has nothing to do with my failures. It has nothing to do with when I mess up, when I make a mistake, because the word has said, faithful is he to finish the work that he's already started. Hallelujah. There's security in this word. There's life in this word, and it'll satisfy every hunger that the human heart has. Hallelujah. It's the greatest human experience just to be married to this divine word. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise.
That's why once somebody's experienced this, how could the old dead religion ever deceive you?
Amen.
Amen, brother.
My, but when those things out there begin to appeal us, you know, more than just we feel the pull on our flesh, but
come on, brother.
But when there becomes a little unsettledness,
yes.
When our faith begins to waver and we get a little bit curious for that out there. Amen. You're on dangerous ground.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
The Bible said that the two spirits would be so close together it would deceive the very elected if it was possible. But it'll never do it because they were elected to eternal life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's why it's not a negative message I brought today. No, friend. But see, I'm saying that anybody who's experienced, amen, drinking from that living water, anybody who's experienced that new birth, amen, then you don't have to live this miserable, dead old creed. Amen. And if there's somebody out there who's living in that miserable, dead creed, amen, then I'm here to tell you that you're right next to the river of life. Amen. Satan's come in against that bright tree. Amen. That original tree. Amen. What did he do? He brought in a palmer worm that would eat away all the fruit to where the people got no life in the church. So much so much starchiness and so much education and so much knowledge, but no life whatsoever, no gifts, no fruit, amen, nothing in their character that reveals Christ, but it's just a dead religion. Amen. Amen. But and just enough life in there not to worry about them losing their fruit. Amen. Then Satan has brought in a locust. Amen, to that tree. Amen. And what did the locust do? It ate away all those leaves of fellowship.
Sure did.
Amen. Until we've gotten, we're so afraid of another church having more supernatural than us and making us look bad that we'll just cut off fellowship with them, call them fanatics. And say, well, they just need to mature a little bit and get more revelation, you know, and stop being so Pentecostal because it scares me. Amen. And because I don't have it and I'm jealous. Hallelujah. Amen. And it cuts that fellowship right off. There's no leaves. Amen. There's none of that. Oh, that wonderful fellowship where you can sit down under those cool leaves, sit down in the shade. Amen. And Christ can fellowship with Christ. Amen. But we've put in a division there. Amen. Around this message where this church can't fellowship with that church and that pastor won't speak to that pastor. Amen. And it's just a mess because Satan's just had his way with it. Amen. Next comes a canker worm, and what does it do? It goes for the bark.
That's right.
But you ever look at a dead tree? Remember when this is a few years ago when the gypsy moths came through the Midwest and they wiped out so many trees. You know, and those trees they would get into the bark and they would eat into that tree, and that tree would die right there. But you know what? It was dead, but it looked good for a few years. It would look good. We still have trees in our backyard, and they're dead through and through, but they look just like any other tree, because they went for that bark, they were eating on that bark, but they left that outer shell there. So that's what Brother Brown's talking about, that bark represents religion, it's a covering. And so you got so many people, they'll cover themselves with religion. They'll show up to church on Sunday, they'll be the most loyal person in the church, they'll pay their tithes, amen, they'll shake their pastor's hand, amen, do their best to be a good Sunday-go-meeting Christian, amen. And on the inside, though, that caterpillar got in there. That denominational caterpillar got in there and ate away all of the life.
Oh my.
Amen.
And sooner or later, it'll fall away.
Right.
Because it's dead. It's dead. And when it falls away, that covering will just split open and there'll be no security in that cover. That bark does nothing to protect that tree because it's just the life of it's been eaten away.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And that's how Satan has brought the church today. Until it looks just like you got the true tree of life. Amen. You've got the Christ, the bride tree, and then you've got this denominational tree.
Yes, right.
And they look just the same. And you know what? This time of year, amen, in the autumn, you got all these beautiful colors coming out. Amen. All these beautiful colors on the tree, and it looks really good. Yeah. You look at it and say, that looks real spiritual. That looks like a real good, solid brother. Amen. You're looking at that outward works, but what does, you know what all those colors, that beauty represents? Death. Yeah. Amen. Death is beautiful. It's beautiful. It looks good. It's pleasing to the eye.
Mm. That's good, brother.
Looks so close. But that bride tree that God has restored. Amen. That which the palmer worm is eating, the locust eating, the canker worm is eating, the caterpillar is eating, God said, I will restore,
amen,
saith the Lord.
Right.
Amen. All those things have been eaten away from the church. All they need to do, amen, is what? Get planted by the river of living water.
Yes,
amen. And if that church, if what she'll do is instead of just trying to survive out in this desert, amen, instead of just trying to plant themselves next to some dried out old rock, amen, if they'll just come right to that riverside and put their roots right in, amen, and you can't really do it. It was God that planted you there, hallelujah. It was His elective love. He took you out of that death, amen, and if you're in it today, He wants to take you out of that death and plant you by the river of living water. All you've got to do is lay down those roots and drink and drink and drink and drink and drink and drink and drink. Amen. Amen. And it'll push out a bark, a thick bark that'll protect you from all of the winds of doctrine, all of Satan's attacks. Amen. Any pestilence that come in the church, it'll be protected by that bark. Amen. And you'll grow out thick leaves of fellowship where somebody will want to cast you out, but you'll just draw the bigger circle. Amen. Show the love of Christ to bring them back in. Amen. And it'll push out fruit.
Amen.
It'll push out faith and virtue and knowledge and all the fruits of the Spirit, which are the very nature of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because you're feeding on the life of Jesus Christ, that river of living water, that new birth, and it'll push out the same Christ,
amen,
same fruit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. She bears fruit. She walks in the Spirit. Brother Bram says that a man, when he comes to Christ, amen, almost closing now, it isn't first go get your oranges, you get the tree.
Amen. Don't bring in all your old ideas and your old drama or your opinions or anything. No, you know what happened? I was raised in the message. I was a message brat and had all of it just hammered into my head from when I was a child. Amen. But when God brought me to Him, when God changed me on the inside, I had to unlearn everything I half knew.
Amen.
I had to unlearn all those things. Had to start from the beginning. Amen. And in 1 year, amen, God, probably 99% of the revelation that I have was in 1 year. Wow, God just took my life. Amen. It was God that did it. I didn't have to do it anymore. Amen. Because I worked for someone under that guilt of that religiousness, that false religious spirit. I worked and I tried and I failed every time. Amen. But when I started drinking from that fountain of living water, hallelujah, then it pushed out everything that I had need of. All the fruit I needed in my life came out easy. Amen. It came out automatically. It was God doing it. Hallelujah. Amen. You'll never do it under your own power. He says all that a believer has to do after he's placed in Jesus Christ, everything he has need of in this earthly journey is given to him when he's placed in Christ. All he has to do is drink and drink and push out. Till every fruit of the Spirit, every gift of the Spirit, everything that's in Christ Jesus that belongs to you, it'll be in you for the entire journey.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
All you got to do is drink.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Drink and push out. Hallelujah.
Yes,
amen. We want to make a return to the living Word.
Yes,
not the Word that we've turned into a creed with our opinions, but the living Word.
Amen.
Where we can look at this Word and pray, Holy Ghost, teach me your ways. Teach
Amen.
Me your statutes like David prayed. Teach me. When you make yourself teachable, God's so willing
That's
to
right.
teach, and He'll Amen. Bring us back to the kind of a truth that'll be a living Word, and it'll produce life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. You're not supposed to go get a tree and dig it up somewhere, but get the smallest tree that's just a young babe in Christ. Set it by the fountain of water, the inexhaustible life of Christ.
Amen.
Then you're positionally placed in Christ. And when you're in Christ by the Holy Spirit, then all these qualities of the Holy Spirit lives in you.
Amen.
Brother Bram says, the life of Christ, it'll produce the works of Christ.
Well.
It'll produce the faith of Christ. We think we got to have our own faith. We think we got to work up some kind of a human faith.
Yeah.
But if you're drinking from that river of life, it'll be His faith.
Amen.
James says, have not the faith of Christ with respect to persons.
Right.
Amen. It's His faith even. It's Christ the believer in you.
Amen.
Oh my, there's so little that we think that we've got to achieve it all, but it's God that'll just do. All it takes is surrender.
Amen.
If we could just get more sold out, if we could just lay down more of our self to God and just say, God, come and take control.
Yes.
He's so willing. It's His will. It's what He's trying to produce in this day. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. It'll make you act as Christ.
Amen.
It'll make you love Him.
Oh, yes.
He will be first in your life. Your objectives, your motives, and everything will be altogether different. It'll be for the glory of God. Only those that have Christ living and working
yes, sir.
Within will escape death.
That's right.
See, we got to let Him work. Amen. Let Him have His perfect work.
Yes,
right,
Lord
amen.
Jesus.
Amen. See how Satan gets us, even though we're born again, even though we have salvation.
Oh.
You know, you died, you'd go to heaven, but you know you're living below your privileges.
Amen.
Amen. Because somewhere you tried to just take a little detour and set up some kind of a human a thing. Amen. It's that when God wants to produce His perfect will in our lives.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We try so hard when we have no need of trying.
Amen.
Amen. It's not in trying, but in trusting.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
And in closing now, Brother Bram said, I'm afraid today that too many of us are not getting people to Christ. And this is so to the message. This isn't to denomination, it isn't to the world. This is addressing the message. If there was ever a timely quote, we're not getting people to Christ, we're getting them to a church.
That's it, brother.
To a theory. But we must get them to
yes.
Christ.
Amen.
He is the only one, and the only one that has life. He that has the Son has life.
Amen.
Life more abundantly.
That's
Amen.
Right. Hallelujah.
Amen. I'm so glad that one day I found life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And this is living. This
thank
is living.
Amen.
Thank the Lord. Amen. Let's just stand and let's just thank the Lord. Amen. And let's be sure to pray that we've got every part of our heart just surrendered to God, and we want to lay all of ourselves down and let Him have complete control in our lives.
Yes.
Lord Jesus, thank You, Father, for coming and speaking to us, Father. Lord, and Lord, we know that we've spoken hard things tonight, Father, but Lord, they're just to be a caution to Your people, Father, Lord, and not to bring them into condemnation, but Lord, we know how subtle our enemy is, Father. Lord, we know the dangers of the age, Father, and how the powers of hell have come against this church and Your revelation like never before, Father. Lord, and we know that the only safety, Father, the only thing that, Lord, can protect us from that, Father, is Your life living and working in us, Father. So, Lord, I pray that You would search me now, Father. Search my heart today, Father, and any wickedness in there, anything that's not quite right, any of my ideas, any of my opinions, any clog that would keep the Spirit of God from being able to flow freely in my life. Father, will You take it away? I lay myself down on the altar, Father. Help us to rededicate ourselves to You, Father. Every day, may we die to ourselves and let Christ live.
Hallelujah,
Hallelujah, Lord. May we become crucified with Christ,
Amen.
Father, to where it's not us that lives anymore. Because, Lord, we're tired of trying so hard and trying and failing, Father. Oh, but if we could just lay down roots in Your word and drink up that word, Lord. We know it's a living word to produce Your will in our lives, and it'll produce an invincible bride of Christ. We thank You for choosing us, Father, to be just a part of Your bride, knowing that it was nothing we ever could have earned, Father. Nothing we ever could have done, but it was Your grace and Your love for us, Father. Oh, we're blessed, Father. Oh, Lord, it's our desire to just live, Father, experiencing the fullness of Your blessings, Father. May we not allow Satan to get advantage of us in any way where we would just live below our privileges, where we weren't living in the complete joy of the Lord, Lord, knowing that that's our strength against this enemy, Father. Help us to be so full of You that Satan wouldn't have a place to get in, Father. Amen. Thank You, Jesus. And thank You for speaking to us tonight. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You have a song, brother?
Flowing out from Thee makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. It opens prison doors, sets the captive free.
I'm How many heard the voice of the Lord tonight?
Amen.
It's all right if your pastor be a little transparent tonight. I'm a human just like everyone else here. I know God spoke. He spoke right to my heart today.
Absolutely.
Showed me exactly something I've been doing over and over and over again. And I never couldn't pinpoint why I do this. And my wife will tell you the same. It's something I get so frustrated about because I don't understand why I do it. Now I do. I'm so grateful for that. And I'll just share a little bit here just so you understand what I'm talking about. For some reason, I'll just get an idea. And the last one here was soccer. And I ain't never liked anything about soccer. Okay, I didn't know the first thing about it. But for some reason, I get it on my mind. And then I'll go look up some stuff about it. And then I'll look up some more stuff about it. And I'll look up some more until I know every single player that's ever played. I know how many times they scored a goal. I know where they did it. I know how they did it. I know how they are the greatest ever. And at the end of the day, I go, why am I doing this? It's that little bit of dissatisfaction.
Oh, God.
And Satan, he brings it in saying, look, just a little bit more, and you'll see what it's all about.
Sure.
And a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. And let me just testify. Last night, I was watching some stuff about that. Now, one of the last things I watched talked about, if you know anything about soccer, you know the name Messi. And Lionel Messi is the best soccer player ever hit the world, pretty much. But they were talking about him and how great he was. And then a man that talked about the stadium that he plays in, his home field, he said it's the temple for Messi there.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes out and he's the high priest. And we give up our worship to him.
Sure.
And that's when you see the rabbit comes out of the hat, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Now I know what Satan was trying to do in the beginning. Get you to worship some man just because he can kick a ball into a net.
Yeah.
And it can be something foolish too. You know you've dealt with it the same as I have. And it goes from one thing to the next. Never let that come into your life.
Amen.
It's innocent. I understand. It looks so okay, doesn't it? But wait, let it run its course. You'll find out Satan's behind that. God exposed it to me tonight.
Thank you, Lord.
Sure, amen.
I don't have to go back no more. We can all go free, can't we? Are you happy the Lord spoke to you?
Oh, thank you, Lord.
I'm just so happy. You think, oh, that ain't no victory. That's one of the greatest victories I've had in my present experience. Figure out why I keep stumbling and doing this. And to watch Satan get exposed. Now the glory of God comes.
Amen.
You have a need tonight? Is there any reason? There's no reason to leave without peace tonight. He just came and showed us where to walk in peace. Let's just worship him. Let's give him praise. Let's just put our whole heart into it right now. Don't think about nothing else. He's got the preeminence in our lives. He lives. Thank you, Lord. All
fear is gone. Because I know.
Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. Oh, do you love him tonight? Is he your everything? Give him praise.
Because he lives.
Yes, Lord God.
I can face tomorrow.
Time with everything within you, and because
he lives,
thank you, Lord Jesus.
I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone, and because I know. because he is.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's just worship him and adore him. Oh, we love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for speaking, Lord. Thank you for changing us, Lord Jesus. Thank you for loving me, Father. Thank you for being the same. Hallelujah, Father. Glory to God in the highest. You're worthy. You're so worthy. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy and grace to me, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Give me a key of G, Dad.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Lord, create
your prayer. Can we sing it one more time?
Lord, create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Lord, create
Father, praise his name. If you have a need tonight and you'd like prayer, you're welcome to come forward. Otherwise, we're going to dismiss tonight. If you have to go, that's fine. My brother Nathan, pray with you. Sing worthy. Can we sing worthy? Yes, Lord God. Touch our brother, Lord.
Lord, you're a liar, you're defeated, you have no power over my brother. Thank you, Lord, for the word. Believe it, Lord, confess it in Jesus Christ. Thank you for
my brother up, Father. May the resurrection power be.
Yes, Lord God, grant to our brother,
Lord, in Jesus Christ, strengthen him, Father.
Thank you,
Lord, and give him to the heavenly.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Worthy the Lamb that was slain.
Thank you, Father. Oh, praise Him now. He's worthy.
Worthy. Worthy. Worthy the Lamb that was slain.
Let's sing that again.
Oh, worthy.
Love him. Let's love him.
Oh, love him.
Yes, Lord God.
I love him. Love the Lamb that was slain.
Yes, Lord God.
Love him. Love him.
Sing, love you, Lord. I love you, Lord.
I love you.
Yes.
I love you. I love the Lamb that was slain.
Oh, do you love Him with everything within you? Just tell it to Him now.
Love you.
Yes, Father. Yes, Lord.
I love you. I love the Lamb that was slain.
Hallelujah, Lord, hallelujah. As we prepare to go tonight, are you happy for the Word of God that came and spoke? Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Let's adore Him and worship Him. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Remember to lift Brother Nathan in prayers. The Lord continues to use him. We sure appreciated that tonight. That was wonderful. Those of you being here Sunday, remember that Brother Alexander will be preaching for us. So keep him in prayer. Come expecting great things out of that service. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight. It was a good night in His presence. I'm just going to sing. I'll give this service to Dad. If you need to get going, you're dismissed tonight in the name of in fear of God. We'll sing Just Touching Jesus. G again. It's 262 if you don't know it. God bless you, saints.
Touching Jesus is all that really